Why, thanks, Paul. And today I want to welcome Eric Klinger to the show today. He's got a company called Deal Lounge, which is interesting because I hear deal and I hear lounge, and I can imagine what something like that would be like. But now he's going to be here to tell us about that. So welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me on.
Great. Why don't you take a couple minutes and tell people who you are and what you're doing?
Sure. My name is Eric Klinger. I'm the CEO of a company called Deal Lounge, which is a startup in the fintech space. And what we do is we work in the lower middle market of investment banking, which loosely defined is probably deals having $1.5 million to $2 million of EBITDA or cash flow, up to about $10 million of EBITDA. And what we do in that, in the lower middle market, this is, not the province of the big banks, the bulge brackets, the Morgan Stanleys and the Goldman Sachses and whatnot. They're all on the higher end. What we're working with, it's very fragmented in terms of both the advisors, i.e., the investment banks in that space, and also, we're working with buyers that are somewhat fragmented too. So, what we're really trying to do, our mission is to take deals from lower middle market, boutique investment bankers, deal brokers, advisors. And these are deals that are not narrowly, that are not, sorry, they're not widely distributed in the marketplace. And, some of these banks lack broad distribution. They need help, often expanding their network. And what they do is they come to Deal Lounge. They take, their deals, which have been seen by relatively few people, and they plug into our network. And what we're doing is we're bringing the deals to a broader audience. And that audience consists of private equity firms, it consists of strategic acquirers, and it consists of family offices. And what we're trying to do for them is we're trying to bring them qualified interest. And we are, bringing that to the advisors, really, to bring them more interest on their deals. And of course, that generally brings, with that deal interest, generally comes more competition. And it makes the sellers of the companies very happy because it often means that they fetch a higher price.
Now, as part of the services you do, because with California Capital Partners, we were mostly involved with companies. Initially, we were doing venture debt and working with earlier stage companies. But in today's world, we're working with companies that are much larger and looking for more money. And one of the things that happens is, under most circumstances, when you first look at the deal, the reason that there's problems that are associated with this that they really ought to rectify if they're going to go out and do something, is that also part of what you do and provide as a service?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, historically, Deal Lounge has been oriented towards M&A, i.e., majority takeouts, merger and acquisition. But we're actually expanding our product suite to include capital raising. But to answer the specific question, what we do in that case, we love it when a company comes to us and they might need some help. A lot of companies need help before they're entering a transaction, whether it's M&A or capital raising. And what we do is we typically would refer them to an advisor that we know and that we trust to work with them on what's called, kind of pre-deal packaging. I used to have a company in that space, so I have some knowledge of it as well. But what they'll typically do is, they'll typically get an accounting firm to review your numbers. They'll do some basic due diligence. They'll do what's called prior period adjustments on your historical numbers. And then they might even, do some financial modeling and create a set of pro formas or forecasts for you. And those are all good steps to do. They may help you, put together a data room. Those are all good steps to do before you do a transaction.
Sure. Are you doing anything other than looking at the financing of the company? Like, is there somebody looking at, so when they're making a description of what their company is, they're missing the boat because you see something that they should be talking about that they don't talk about?
Sure. We definitely, work with the company, sometimes directly and sometimes through the advisor, to help them craft the pitch. We don't really branch into legal due diligence. We don't look at their contracts or their leases or anything like that. But, certainly as far as them articulating, what is their mission, what makes them different from everybody else, we may have input into that, and we may feed that directly to them or through the advisor that we refer in.
So you talked about also that you're looking for somebody who's got an EBITDA of $1 million or more. Did they have to be in business a certain amount of time?
It helps if they have 2 years of operating history. Yes. And, typically, there is something that I want to say about the EBITDA threshold. For technology companies, those companies are not typically bought as a multiple of revenue of EBITDA,
I
sorry.
know.
They're typically bought as a multiple of revenue,
Yes.
and therefore we don't really have that requirement for technology companies.
Okay.
Technologies can have zero EBITDA or they can have negative EBITDA.
Right.
It's really only in industries where companies are typically bought as a multiple of EBITDA, i.e., brick and mortar type businesses where you have hard assets. That's where we like to see $1.5 million and up, really. I mean, we look at something with $1 million, but that's getting a little low.
We, as I said, the California Capital Partners, we were doing venture debt at one point in time. So we would be looking at somebody and looking at two lines. And we looked at revenue because that's most of the time on the acquisitions, you say a lot of tech companies, it's a multiple revenue. But we also looked at EBITDA because EBITDA says this is how much money that's left to be able to do things like pay back debt.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
we ran into some instances and cases where we expected our money back at a certain time and between months 22 and 42, and we would see somebody whose EBITDA is negative for the first 3 years. Well, there's no way we are even going to carry on the conversation. They're not going to be able to pay us back the money in 6 months, so it doesn't make any sense. So that's really good. And I always am translating between a lot of times investment bankers want to talk about things in terms of EBITDA, regardless of whether it's a tech company or not. And I have to mathematically go in my head like, okay, who am I talking to? Because somebody's looking for 15x, but it's actually based on EBITDA and not 15x based on revenue. So it's a crazy, crazy business. So walk me through sort of somebody comes into you, what's your process and what are you looking for?
Let me address that in the context of how, let's say that you're a business owner and you want to sell a business, right? What typically happens? Well, you would go to your attorney. They may put you in contact with a large investment bank, and you go to them and you have a meeting, and they tell you a bunch of things to do, and they sort of say, well, you're not big enough for us to sell yet because they have a minimum fee on the deal that they need to make. But if you do these three things, maybe in a year or two you'll be big enough for us to sell. And of course they say it in a very nice and non-patronizing way. I'm just sort of shorting it. What we typically would do, and what we encourage anyone to do, is, by all means, go to that bank, have that meeting. It's typically a middle market bank, that's fairly large and fairly impressive. Take good notes, listen to everything they say, and then come see us. And what we'll do is we'll refer you to an advisor that doesn't charge such a high minimum fee. And we can sort of break down what you learned in the conversation with the bank. And then, we can say, okay, of the three things they told you, let's implement these two and let's leave this third item for the buyer. So that's really, that's the first step, is figuring out, okay, where do we want to take the implementation risk and where do we want to leave that implementation risk to the buyer? And then, the advisor that we refer will work with you, and they will go through all your pre-audit sort of packaging. I shouldn't say pre-audit, pre-deal packaging. A lot of deals, I should say something about that. A lot of deals involve an accounting review. You
Right.
typically don't need an audit unless it's going to be a leverage deal. We'll get your book together with the advisor, and then we'll put the deal on Deal Lounge, and that's really where we can cut a lot of time out of the process. Typically, a deal in the lower middle market will take between 9 and 12 months to consummate. And usually these deals have, frankly, some hair on them. Most buyers understand that. The buyer target that we work with understands that. But because we're distributing the deal on Deal Lounge and it's all electronic, we can cut the time for you to get to a check, so to speak, pretty significantly, and we can get you to liquidity faster. And I think that's the advantage from a business owner, and that's why you would want to work with Deal Lounge.
So it sounds like what Deal Lounge has, I've seen a number of these that have cropped up in the last, I don't know, 5, 6 years, where there'll be a group of angel investors, and there's some place like the Angel List, and you'll list deals that are on the Angel List. And then, so you probably, I'm assuming Deal Lounge is a website where people that are subscribed to your service can come in and look at it and go through deals and look at them.
Yes, and AngelList works with a different type of deal,
Sure.
obviously. They're working with startups and we're working with more established.
Yes.
But yeah, and the way that that works is, we're on a freemium model. We have
Okay.
free users and we have paid users. The free users, see certain deals that we put out, and we're very interested in having conversations with them because we want to make them obviously into paid users.
Right.
Our paid users get to see what we call our subscriber only deal flow, which is these are deals from novel sources. This is really the mission of Deal Lounge. It's bringing the boutique investment bankers deals to the subscribers, and the subscribers have first pass on those deals. So if you're a subscriber and you have an interest in a particular industry, you'll see that deal before anybody else. If you have interest in a particular sector, you'll see deals in that sector after the subscribers who had the particular industry interest. And then the free users see it. So, the free users see the deals after the subscribers have already looked at it, and it has to reach a certain critical level of interest. But basically before, they get to see it first, and they get to express their interest first. And once they hit that critical level of interest, the free users may not even see the deal.
So it also, I would then assume that people that are subscribers are people that want to buy and operate a business versus just invest in something.
Actually, that's changing now because we are getting more into capital raises as well as just M&A.
Okay. So in a capital raise, I got it. That's why, because the thing that you had said initially was family offices, and generally in family offices, they're just looking at some place to put money. And especially some place to put money that's not real estate because of 2008, 2009.
Correct. And family offices, they have such a plethora of objectives. I'll be honest, that's frankly higher hanging fruit for us. And we're starting to make some efforts into making inroads there. But family offices are a tricky onion to peel
We know.
because they take such a long time frame as far as their perspective. So they're not looking at a 5-year time frame. They're looking a generation. Their objective is to pass that wealth off into the next generation. So it makes it a little bit trickier from our standpoint, but it's something that we're starting to develop is our family office offering.
Yeah, the other thing that we're aligned with at least one family office at California Capital Partners, and it's a multifamily office, and one of the things that became of interest to a multifamily office was the individual family offices might want to invest in certain places, but they have no understanding of those, whatever the marketplace there are. Somebody hears that we have a number of people that are interested in this whole concept of vaping. And of course, they know nothing about the industry. They have no idea what's a good deal or a bad deal. And they also don't actually understand how over time to look at them and manage them. So we actually put together a family choice fund in California Capital Partners for those kinds of people that want to do that. They can invest in family choice and then track what's happening within certain industries that they want to track.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, they, you know, as I said, most of them made their money on real estate. And it was a very safe investment until 2008, 2009. And then all of a sudden, it's not safe anymore. But then how do you make a decision to enter into something that you're not familiar with? You know, they don't, they're, it's worse than just being an angel investor that, or actually not an angel, a high net worth individual. Because most of them, unless you were in that industry, you know, I've always said the best thing that you can do is save yourself some time. Just put your cash in the garbage disposal and turn it on because, you know, there's nothing else you can do. You have no control over anything. So it's really good.
I really like, you know, I really like what you're doing as far as, you know, creating an industry specific fund. I think that that's, you know, that tends to be the way I think a lot of family offices would want to look at it, you know, sort of investing through an expert, you know, sort of a fund of funds concept or an industry specific fund like yours.
Yeah. So, so you're doing both, somebody that wants to sell out. So instead of going to some business broker, they'll find you and you'll help them through that process. Or if somebody's doing a cash raise, so when you're doing a cash raise, what's kind of the appetite of the people that are coming to you for raising cash?
Well, you know, that's, I think that the answer now is that more people are probably interested in M&A. You know, we've just had obviously the best M&A year we've had in quite a while. I think that, you know, as time goes on, that is going to change. You know, as the economy changes a bit, my feeling is that, you know, we're somewhat near a top and the Fed is raising rates. I think as time goes on, maybe a year or two down the road, there are going to be a lot more people that want to talk about raising money than want to talk about M&A. And that is, you know, that is almost always true. It's quite predictable in terms of the economic cycle, and M&A is a very cyclical product.
Right.
So basically what we often do, we don't try to disrupt business brokers or boutique investment bankers. In fact, we usually, if a company were to come to Deal Lounge, we would refer to those folks. We're a technology platform, not an investment banker, and we're not looking to get involved on the sell side so much. What we would do if somebody wanted to raise cash, and you know, as I said, I think the appetite is growing. That's what I would, that's how I would characterize it. But basically we would take that interest and, you know, find a friendly advisor in the marketplace, who we've worked with and who has listed deals on Deal Lounge prior. And that person, you know, or that firm would get a call and they would really lead the charge in terms of building the book and really getting to know the story. And as I said, I mean, the reason for that is we're a technology platform. We're not an investment bank, and we're not really trying to be.
Now, one of the things, though, that when you're talking about the capital raises, I was trying to get to, if I look at the traditional investment space, you'll have the individual investors, net worth, you know, even the groups of people like in Southern California have Tech Coast Angels or Pasadena Angels, Maverick Angels. And they have unless they significantly change, they have a top that they're not going to go beyond. And when you start to look at what that top is, whether it's $1 million, $1.5 million, when you then look at the next level up, you've got, you know, venture capital, it sort of oscillates between lows and highs. But generally nowadays, you're talking about they're looking for investments of, you know, $5 to $7 million or more. There's this big hole in the middle. And you'll find some companies that come down and try to fill the hole in. One of the traditional VCs that do that is, I'll remember their name in a second. But they come down and they're into this. They're doing a lot of $3 to $4 million deals, $2 million deals, and they fill a space. Are you in a place where you're trying to fill a space of people that are looking for greater than $2 million, but not more than $4 million or something like that?
That's something that we're actually developing
Okay.
right now, is to create, our fundraising. I think that you have to look at it in the context. I mean, we generally there's raising money for fairly new companies, which is, I think that's where we would get into filling a hole.
Right.
When you're talking about raising capital for companies that are, a couple of million dollars of revenue and already have a significant footprint,
Right.
I think that deal becomes, 7 to 10 is about the minimum that we would get involved with. I
Right.
mean, probably 7 million
So
would be the lowest.
you're looking for people who are looking for expansion capital.
Correct.
Or
Yeah,
they're
growth
getting
capital.
ready to do an M&A transaction, they want to go do or they're going to do a public offering and they want to raise some money to go do a roadshow.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
They're really looking for bridge capital or late stage VC.
Good.
That's kind of our zone. But I think that, we're expanding downward, in terms of amount, to be able to work with, the companies that are fairly new in Silicon Beach, and we're as excited about, what's going on there
Right.
as anybody else. So, to the extent that we can add value to those companies, that's something that we're teeing up right now.
Well, that's good. Actually, the firm that was slipped my mind for a minute was Andreessen Horowitz. They're
Oh, yeah,
doing
sure.
a lot of deals down in this area. Is there a website that people can go look at and see what's going on?
Yep, sure is. It's deallounge.net. So it's www.deallounge,
Okay.
deallounge.net. And our office number is 310-957-2064. We're located in Manhattan Beach.
Okay.
And, again, it's deallounge.net, deallounge.net. You can always send email to info@deallounge.net. That will always get to us. And we'd be delighted to talk to anybody in your audience.
Well, I think that's great. By the way, I would tell you that things go fast, but they actually do. We're at a point in time when I would have normally got to this point and said, "So, how can anybody get in touch with me?" We just did, and we're running up against having a commercial. So, I enjoyed the conversation. For anybody listening, it sounds like it's very interesting. It's a different way to be able to look at things. You might be a company that needs this, or you may be an investor who wants to understand more about it. You should go look at it. And the one thing that I would tell you that you need to remember is when it's deallounge.net, it's only one L.
Yes.
I'll save you some stuff that's going on with it. So it was
And
great
it's
talk.
dot net. It's not dot
Dot
com. Dot
dot
net.
net. Yes. So
Yes.
I really appreciated talking to you. It was really great.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having us on.
Not a problem. Paul, why don't you take us to a commercial?